Wanna? Anybody volunteer the chair?
Sure, you would think that I would remember the protocols a little bit better, but can I call this meeting to order? Let me have a look at our, let's review the minutes from our. Where are we?
The June 3rd meeting.
Okay. I had them up and then I lost them again. Where the heck are they? Do you any corrections or additions to the minutes from the previous meeting?
I would move to approve.
Okay.
I'm in favor.
I'll second that. Me too. In favor. I don't know. Aye.
Aye.
We don't have any. We don't have anybody that wants to speak at open forum.
Public input. Mm-hmm. Okay, then can we move on to the first order of business, which is the presentation from the Soroptimist Society?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead. We've got Pat Acklin here, and I'll go ahead and bring Pat in after I do an introduction. I can start that actually right now. I'm going to promote Pat to a panelist. So Pat will be here visible and able to speak. So the Soroptimist, hello, Pat. The Soroptimist International of Ashland, they're requesting a non-standard memorial to be placed at Gardenway Park. As stated in the background materials, we have a nice history of Gardenway, thanks to Pat, and you can see that Soroptimist International of Ashland were responsible for bringing the park online and developing it, and there are other memorials in the park dedicated for Marcy Clark, the founder of the Ashland chapter. And so it would be in your packet, there's a mock-up of a boulder that would have an inscription on it. There is also a little diagram that shows you the size. That would be placed in the front of the park. Soroptimist will work with maintenance staff to find the right spot for it to make sure everybody's happy with it. And for background, we also, I included the history of the park compiled by Pat Acklin as a rationale as to why this would be going in this particular park. And if, unless there are any questions, Pat, if you would like to say a few words, or if any commissioners have questions for Pat.
I think Sean adequately covered what our request is about, and you have the history. You may have noticed our banner over Main Street in June, which noted our service since 1946, which incidentally was before I was born, so I was not a member then. Hi, Jim. The gratifying thing was to have Margie Clark's daughter call me, having read the article about this, the park in the newspaper. Margie Clark's daughter is her married name. Well, she had two of them. The first was Wolf, but she's now Kathy Silver. And if you're an Ashlander, she was a longtime lead office manager at Ashland High School. And I've always said that those people are the ones who really run the schools. Anyway, she called me to thank me for writing the history and for noting her mother's participation in the creation of the park. And that was actually a very gratifying thing. So I just thought I'd share that with you. So if you have questions, I'm here.
And I would just add that staff is in support and has no issues with dedicating this memorial at Garden Way Park.
I just have a statement. I was on the Ashland Historic Commission for 14 years, and I'm always thrilled to learn a little bit more about Ashland. And what you compiled there was an excellent little piece that I attached to my whole compendium of Ashland history, because I had no information on Garden Way, and now I feel like I could talk intelligently about it. And just to reference I have no connection with the Sir Optimus. So and I was born in 1949, so I wasn't a member either. So last month I talked about exceptions to our policies and how I kind of went a little overboard probably as far as talking about bureaucracy and the faceless nature, and we as commissioners make the exceptions and kind of humanize the thing. So I didn't think I would be at the point where I would potentially be making another exception in a month later. And I was I drove down there today just to get the lay of the land, and it's really well documented that it's Garden Way Park and Sir Optimus. So there's so many signs out there for that. So that was one thing I noticed. I noticed the rock and the bench and that exists there now. And so, I see that potentially I would be making an exception because of the history of the park and how intertwined the Sir Optimus are with this park and the parks, the park system just in general. And I know the Rotary is involved in the skate rink, and the Lions are always working. These civic groups are amazing. Hopefully it's doing well and people are still joining and it's a viable group. I don't know, so hopefully that's working on that end. And so I'm not sure what Julian thinks of whether, because we're going to recommend this to the full commission at some point. And from what I read, it seems like this is a good place for another exception, I'm saying.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. The other thing that kind of crossed my mind is it sort of seems that we ought to have maybe not like an exception, like a standing exception, but there should be some, I don't know, of our criteria for group or for recognition of people who actually created the park in the first place. I mean, or this, fits into sort of, it seems to me, a slightly different category. If your organization or something like that were fundamental to the creation of the park, then I don't know, that seems like it's a valid reason for having a more long-term memorial or recognition, I should say.
The memorial policy for non-standard memorials, which is what this is, kind of outlines those types of justifications for granting that non-standard. There's just an additional step to get a recommendation and approval from full commission for those non-standards. So this falls within the memorial policy as a non-standard memorial.
And that was part of the policy. Originally, Joanne Eggers and I were on the plaques and memorials, and we were somewhat concerned that there would be everybody wants to memorialize their loved one in Lithia Park, and so it was some way to blunt that effort of people wanting to have plaques and memorials there. And so this to me doesn't really fall into that. It's kind of a different type of plaque and memorial. And so, like I say, I I would hope we would vote and consider moving this to the, recommending this to the full commission. And so it's nice to see you, Pat. I haven't seen you in a while. So I would move, so move to make the exception and approve this at our subcommittee level and take it to the full commission with a positive recommendation. I'll vote in favor as well. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Need a roll call
anything
vote,
else,
Sean?
Nope, that works. I will go ahead and this will be added to the agenda for the full commission on the notice for August 4th is already gone, so we're unable to add it to the meeting next week. So this will go to the regular business meeting on September 8th for a final decision.
Okay.
I will be in touch with you on that meeting, about that meeting.
Very good. So thank you, folks. And I think that, you know, we were aware as a group that serves the whole community that while we would have loved to have been in Lithia Park, we understand your predicament with people, everyone wanting to be there. And because we have the distinct connection and the record of improvements at the Garden Way Park, it seemed like the right place. So just quickly, as a person who taught land use planning and included a little parks planning in that, when Central Park was founded, their park policy had to be extremely tough because you can imagine in New York City, everyone wanted to be there. And they said, if we had approved everything that's been proposed for Central Park over time, it would be covered, you know, hundreds of feet deep with gazebos and memorial benches and stones and statues. So I get your policy, and I think setting it up so you have some flexibility is good because, you know, sometimes if it's really fussy, well, I spent 14 years on the Ashland City Council, so I know what happens when you make fussy policy. Thanks again. I'll shut up and leave.
Well.
Bye. Hope to see you in September.
All righty.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, any other business from commissioners?
I think Sean mentioned he had a little information on the gathering information on the mowers. So if you know, if you got a little time, Julian, we could maybe hear that because that was interesting last night discussion. That was a good idea, and hopefully it isn't too much wasn't too much hassle for you, Sean. But
it's a little bit of work, but nothing that we can't handle. So I took the morning at the meeting. During the meeting last night, I emailed our representative from Mean Green and asked for a list of customers that we could contact. Didn't see that in my inbox this morning, contacted him. He said he's working on it, trying to get it from headquarters in Ohio, I believe. So I did a little bit of internet research and tracked down some organizations that have used it. And I have contacted 6 organizations, 5 municipalities, and also a university in Southern California. I've heard back from 2. Southampton, New York had glowing praise for the 2 60-inch machines that they purchased 2 years ago, from staff to the mechanics to the public. No issues with batteries. If anything breaks, it's a plug and play. So they just have spare parts, spare motors, spare electronic components that they can swap in and out, and they're able to do it in-house in their mechanic, which was our plan also. I also spoke with South Pasadena, and operationally they contract their landscape maintenance out, and operationally they say the lawnmowers are great, the public loves them. The only problem that they've run into is they don't have They don't apparently don't have in-house fleet maintenance, nor do they have a dealer located in their vicinity. So they have to trailer the when the mower breaks, they have to trailer it in, over an hour away to a shop, and it's sometimes down for a couple weeks. It will not be the case with us because we have both an in-house mechanic and we have a dealer in Medford set up specifically. This dealer was set up with the idea that that we would be purchasing these and that they would be available for service if we cannot handle it in-house. And that was actually part of our intent to bid, is that we needed local service available for any equipment that we purchased. In the past, we've had some things that we purchased where service was not available regionally, and that causes a problem. So we did not want to have that with these new mowers. So, so far, so good. I am waiting for the four other jurisdictions I contacted to get back to me. I've sent emails and left phone messages. And as soon as I get that list, I'll go ahead and start reaching out to other people to try to get as many references on the phone as required in order to move forward. So again, we are moving pretty quickly on this, especially in terms of typical government speed. So
great. Yeah. Nice to hear. I was watching a program on television and there was... there was a tractor, all electric tractor company called Hummingbird. And it was on a commercial orchard in Central California, and their whole operation is electric vehicles, and it was a fascinating story. And so, not to complicate things, but we should really look around. Anytime we have to replace something, we should have that at the very top of the queue to saying, hey, is there an electric alternative for any of the things? We mentioned the individual push mowers and things like that. Those are on the lower end, but the higher end with the quads and the tractors and anything else we might need to replace soon, we should really, this is my suggestion that staff kind of look at the battery option when at all possible. Yeah.
That is that just to confirm that we do that. So that is good. A place. Your suggestion has been taken. So when we look at equipment, we are looking at electric models. So we recently needed another string trimmer, and we purchased an electric model instead of purchasing a gas one. So it's happening. We're using it. We're using them where we can. And the utility vehicles, I think at the last meeting, Wes was talking about how the ones we have are kind of first generation and not very powerful. And when we're ready to replace those, I'm sure that they're going to have very fast and with towing capacity and dump beds. And so we'll be looking into those when we're ready to replace our in-park utility carts.
And then I was hopeful that I could put something on the agenda for the next meeting was a single use policy, getting back to that since we moved ahead on the carbon so quickly. I figure it's left a vacuum to suck in the single use, and that's a policy decision. I don't think it's a huge budget issue, so it'd be just something to discuss again now that we're going to be having humans actually come in close contact with each other, hopefully in the near future, and we might actually need to have services for feeding people and things like that. Just in general policy for the parks in general, just the employees' use, individual coffee cups. I know you guys kind of do that anyway, but just to reduce that single use stuff. So I would appreciate getting that on the agenda for next meeting. I don't know, Julian, you got something on your mind?
Oh, I was just gonna mention, it seems to me that mostly the electric devices that replace gas-powered ones are lower maintenance in general. at least the cars, I think, are much lower maintenance than gasoline-powered cars. And I know, or I have heard, that the Tesla cars, at least, have an extremely long, service life, much longer by miles, at least, than a standard gasoline-powered car. So it's, I mean, I don't object at all to doing our due diligence and making sure that we have good equipment and all that, but it does seem to me that these are likely to be durable and low cost and have lots of things to recommend them. So anyhow, I mean, it's kind of an aside. Sean, can you tell me, you said that there's a dealer that can service the mowers that's in Medford. Who is the dealer?
Power Pack, yeah, they have offices in Klamath Falls. Their headquarters are in Klamath Falls, and they have a store over there. And then they have one in Medford across the street from Blackbird on Main.
Oh, okay. Terrific.
Yeah, so that dealer just recently got set up.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's great news. Yep, and I don't have anything else to go over in this part of the meeting.
Okay. And then
my bandwidth is terrible, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. So thanks, everybody. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Have a great day.
Later.
Thanks.